Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely fantastic day today. And first thing I wanted to bring up, you know, yesterday I talked to you guys about how all this stuff happened all of a sudden in the last couple weeks, actually about last week, especially with the flooding, severe flooding down in Texas, Oklahoma, all the areas. At the same time, we saw record-breaking snowfall in Minnesota and Wisconsin. In Minnesota, I was looking at the numbers today. For everybody that's up there, our listeners that's up there, I mean, you guys obviously already know this. The May monthly snowfall, the previous history, 1954 in Minnesota, was 8.1 inches. It's already at 10.9. The single snowiest day in May was back from 1902, was a little over 5 inches. 2 days ago, they had 8.3 inches in one day on May 8th, literally almost doubling what it did over 100 years ago. So this is very strange, but obviously it's very clear that we've talked about for so long, and it's not even a, you know, question of conspiracy theory anymore. The weather modification that they've been doing via chemtrails, via HAARP, via all these different satellite systems they have around the globe now is very real and it's very effective. And seeing what we're seeing now with the level of snowfall and the level of rain and the level of flooding all at the same time, when realistically it's May. Minnesota doesn't get snow like this in May. That's why the last time it happened was in 1902, and it was like 3.5 inches less than this in one day. So just thought I would point that out. I had a couple of people email me asking me about some of that stuff yesterday, so I thought I would kind of address that. Do your research on weather warfare and see what the U.S. military, the CIA, has been capable of all the way back to Vietnam, and you'll realize real fast when they need something to happen very quickly in the United States, weather warfare is a very easy answer, in my opinion, Deb.
Well, you have to be... Okay, first of all, let me explain something here. This is just, because when I say these things, I sometimes they come across like I'm being condescending, and I'm not. But I'm going to say it in a way that's probably going to still sound condescending, but I'm not trying to be. There are some people out there who it doesn't make any difference what you show them as far as the facts. They don't believe you. Now, and here's why. They will come in and say, okay, sure, you've got barium and aluminum in the water you tested twice. Sure, it was 100 times greater than it was supposed to be and not safe according to the EPA. Sure, you double tested it. You tested it the first time. 6 months later, you tested it together. But you don't know where the barium and the aluminum are coming from. And my response is always, well, where do you think it's coming from? Well, you could have heavy metals being put into the air from phosphate production, or heavy metals put in the air from power production, with the scrubbers not working right. There's all kinds of different things. You don't know it's coming out of the back of the airplanes. And you go, I've seen pictures. I see the plane spraying it. They go, well, you don't know if they're just vetting fuel or if it's some type of altitude thing. And I say, well, I can see the chemtrails. They don't go away. They dissipate and turn into cirrus clouds. And then the other stuff that go through the contrails that go behind the plane, they dissipate and they go away within a few hundred yards after the plane passes over. No, you're not seeing that correctly. You're just confused. And I'm like, I'm looking at it. So it doesn't make any difference unless you actually were to go up there and at 500 miles an hour, you can't take a sample of what's coming out of the engine. So you can take a sample of the fuel. You can do that. Or you take a sample of the stuff coming out of the sprayers, because a lot of times this is underneath the engines and it's not going through the engines. But what it is stuff that's happening at 40, 50,000 feet in the air, and there's no way to get up there and get a sample. And then these planes are the primary sprayers from the CIA. They are landing at government installations, so you can't get close to them. And so this ruse, this lie, they started doing weather modifications back in the 60s in earnest, with the Ho Chi Minh Trail in Vietnam. That's all declassified. They cause it to rain and rain and rain and rain and rain and rain. And one of the side effects of doing all that is they destroyed their own poppy production. Poppies don't like that weather of a climate. And so they lost a lot of the production of drugs in Southeast Asia by their own weather modification. Then they moved the drug production to Afghanistan, our CIA, our Central Intelligence Agency that Kennedy wanted to scatter to the wind. This same group of people are the same ones that are spraying us now. And they're being controlled by the same people who took down 9/11, the same people who crucified Jesus. Here's why I say that. Okay. I know that that's not the same people. Okay, so don't give me that. This is their great, 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 100 great granddaddies ago. The same group of druids. The same group of Satanists. The same group of people. And if you really want to hear that, I did a show on that. I think it was on Wednesday. And I went into detail on that and where they came from. The same ones who took down 9/11. The same one who took over the Exchange Stability Fund in 1934. The same one who gave us the Federal Reserve Bank. The same one who caused our Civil War. The same ones who caused World War I and World War II. The same ones who killed John F. Kennedy. The same ones who had Reagan shot. The same ones who basically are controlling Donald Trump. It's the same people. It's the same people. And if, once you get that this thread has been woven through history and everything else around them is obfuscation, then it makes sense. But the weather modification, Austin, here in Florida, this is May. May was usually a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful month. It stayed cool down here through June as far as humidity. Now, July, all bets are off. Rains, thunderstorms every single day. August, you can forget it, man. It's like walking around in a rain suit with sweat. Change clothes 3 or 4 times a day. You're going to be basically taking 2 or 3 showers a day unless you can stay and soak down in our magnesium deodorant, which is kind of nasty because then you're still dirty, but you can't smell anything because you have any bacteria growth. Or in September, it was usually pretty warm. October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, and June were beautiful. Not anymore. You know, I mean, I was out yesterday afternoon. I thought I was going to heat stroke. It was so hot. And I thought, this is insanity. So again, it's not climate warming. It's like the liberals like to say. It's not that. Okay, what it is geoengineering. The geoengineering has released huge amounts of methane. That's why the polar ice caps are melting. And all that frozen tundra with all that methane gas is being released. And methane gas is, I think, 60 or 100 times more powerful as a CO2 agent, more than CO2 as a global warming agent as far as causing atmospheric heat. And what they've done is they've completely strangled the planet and put it into a straitjacket now, and they've not allowed the natural hydrological cycles to form and take place because of the geoengineering. Literally every square meter of land in the United States is managed as far as rainfall. So when we have the Mississippi River flooding and cresting and flooding the farmlands and preventing crops from being planted in the spring, it was done on purpose. When we have Minnesota with 8 inches of snow in May, it was done on purpose. You know, when we have massive droughts in California with that high pressure zone they parked out there using HARP for years on end, causing crops to fail and trees to die, it was done on purpose. Because these same guys want to control us through food. It's like we talked about earlier, Austin. If they want you to go into a FEMA camp, if they say, we're going to stick you in a FEMA camp because there's been plenty of food and water at the FEMA camp, and they'll come by with their loudspeakers. We have food. We have water. You have to just hop on the bus. We'll take you to the FEMA camp. We're going to feed you and take care of you and give you proper medical care. You know, we're going to make sure the government is here to help. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're here to take you to a concentration camp, which is what a FEMA camp is. And see, this is what we have to understand. This is all being planned around us. The 5G to track us is being planned around us. The GMOs in the foods to make us sick and to make us infertile have been planned around us. The Food and Drug Administration is still, and the FDA and the EPA are still not going to pull Roundup off the market, even though they're losing lawsuit after lawsuit because it causes cancer. They still consider it safe. Hundreds of thousands of tons a year pumped into our soils and into our food supply. They know what causes infertility. They know what causes sterility. They know that it causes cancer. They know that it does. They read the same research that I do. But they don't care because they're all part of the same group, managed by the same group of people. See, this Babylonian money control, this Babylonian money magic, making magic out of nothing with fractional reserve currencies, this is the same thing that took Rome down. This is the same thing that these are the same money changers, money lenders that took Rome down and contracted the money supply in Rome and caused Rome to collapse. This is the same group. This is what they do. It's just this and that. And they don't see money as paper or gold. They see money as a flow of energy. That's how they see it. They're Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian wizards, numerologists, gematria is what they practice. They see everything as energy flows, and they use their rituals, their satanic sacrifices to control energy flows. I wouldn't doubt also, Austin, that the chemtrails are being used to control energy flows because they massively increase the conductance of the atmosphere at the lower levels, basically allowing electrical charges to be placed and making our electronic equipment operate much more efficiently because there's metallic ions in the air. There's all kinds of crazy applications. We've covered all of these different applications from the CIA to science to weather manipulation to crop manipulation. We've covered all of this on the show before, so I don't want to be redundant. But this is exactly what these clowns are doing. And for people to say, I don't believe this, though they're looking at them, okay, I can't make those people believe. It's like if I give you 600 articles on vaccines and how dangerous they are, and you read all 600 articles, which you won't do if you don't want to believe it, and you say, I still don't believe it. It's like these people who believe that Q is real. It doesn't matter what you send them. They just believe Q is real, and they're not going to look at it. I mean, I've lost several friends over the Q thing. You're not listening, Ted. You're missing it all. It's happening right in front of you, and you're missing it. Donald Trump is Q. Q, trust the plan. Trust the plan. Three-dimensional sense. BS. There's no three-dimensional chess being played. Donald Trump's being completely and totally manipulated by the international banking cartels that started Israel, the Rothschild boys, who control almost all of the international banks and all of the currencies in the world through their Federal Reserve manipulations. The Rothschilds bailed him out back in the 80s. They own him. Financially, they can destroy him anytime they want. They're probably threatening him with his children, if they even are that. Remember, his kids, you know, they married a lot of these Kabbalists. And so we have to understand what we're dealing with here. We had a man who could have fixed things had he wanted to make America great again. But he chose not to do that. For various reasons, he chose not to do that. I really believe, and we had a sincere Trump going, and I really believe he didn't think he's going to win. I really believe he thought Hillary was going to win, and I really believe Hillary thought Hillary was going to win. I mean, good Lord, the night of the party, remember the night of the election, she got so drunk she couldn't even come out there and talk. Throwing and screaming and cussing and hurling things and spitting up and flipping tables over, all the stuff that I read about that she was doing. Now, whether she did all that or not, I don't know. I'm just telling you what I read. But I guarantee that woman's got herself a wicked temper and a wicked foul mouth. That I know for sure. Because I've talked, let me tell you something I don't talk about very often, okay? Back in the 90s, I was on the seminar circuit with President Bush and Schwarzkopf and Colin Powell and Barbara Bush and Mary Lou Retton and Carl Lewis and let me just name it, Benjamin Netanyahu, Larry King. You guys have seen the pictures on the website. I mean, I literally spoke with, 100 different dignitaries and presidents and prime ministers, Margaret Thatcher, all these people from around the world. But what I've never told you was this. I'm going to tell you another little insight on what I personally know. I remember when we spoke with George Bush at the Reunion Arena. I believe it was in 93 or 94. It was in Dallas. I think we had 17,000 people in attendance there. And the Secret Service was still guarding him because he had just come out of the White House in 92. He was like a year out. And Reagan had just stepped off the platform because he was starting to come down with senile dementia and Alzheimer's disease. See, as he was no longer speaking with the group. I never met him. I wish I could have. And I remember they had snipers up in the rafters. I mean, they were like colored like the rafters. And they had their guns all over the audience, with their scopes on us, which is kind of an unsettling feeling, to be honest with you. And you couldn't see them. And because they were protecting Bush because Saddam Hussein had basically put a hit out on Bush. And this is what Bush Jr. used as an excuse to go into Iraq. And I stopped and I talked to several of the Secret Service guys. I talked to them. I asked them, you're Secret Service? I'm Secret Service. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, you followed the Bushes. Yep, we did. We followed the Bushes. I said, well, why are you not with, in the Clintons? The Clintons are in the White House now. They said, well, we were in the White House with the Clintons. And I said, well, why didn't you stay in the White House? Well, the Clintons aren't the Bushes. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, the Bushes are really nice. The Clintons are a bunch of drunks. It's like every night there's another party in the White House. They're into these homosexual parties, these gay parties. They have all these gay guests, all this gay stuff all the time. Bill's always drunk. Hillary's always drunk. They're always boozing it up. And we don't want to be there. And Hillary is unbelievably mean. She is mean. She is a doggone snake mean. She is mean. And she yells and she screams and she cusses at us all the time. And she won't even address us. And quite frankly, we didn't want to have to deal with her. So we left the White House detail, which is the highest detail you can get in the Secret Service, and chose to follow a retiring president rather than to stay with the Clintons. That's how bad Hillary Clinton is. And I never told you guys that story. That's how bad the president. And that's why people are always saying, well, how was George Bush and Barbara Bush? See, back in the early 90s when I was with the seminar circuit with these guys, I didn't know these guys. I didn't know who they were. There wasn't an internet. We couldn't do research on the Bush and the CIA and the Kennedy assassination. I didn't know any of that stuff. Had I known that stuff, I'd have been running my mouth is what would happen. I got kicked off. That's what happened. I didn't know all that stuff, but I can say this, that and then George Bush, I've sat and had dinner with him multiple times. I've sat and talked to him in the ready room for hours on, and him and Barbara both, and I can tell you this. He doesn't have slit serpent eyes. His eyes don't turn into slits. You know, I mean, I've had dinner with him talking to him for an hour and a half, 2 hours. He doesn't slit up and slither off. He doesn't do that. You read all this crazy stuff. He doesn't do that. Or at least he didn't do that in front of me. I can put it that way, okay? And Barbara was really nice. Of course, she'd come out as being pro-choice at that point, and so I wasn't real happy about that. But it's just, you know, it's just, but that's who these people are. And so when you meet them in person, they seem to be really, really nice. Now, not the Clintons, who I've been told. The Clinton, I hear Bill's very nice in person, though he stays drunk, likes his whores, okay? And Clinton likes her girls. She's a lesbian. We all know that. I mean, we're not trying to make anything up here. But she's just one mean, you know, that thing that rhymes with wit. She's one of those. And I mean, she is hardcore leftist communist mean. That's why, Austin, we really needed to get Trump in office. We had to roll the dice on the boy. We knew he was a womanizer. We knew he was basically a partier. We knew that he basically was good friends with Jeffrey Epstein. We knew that he had all kinds of connections with the Rothschild banking cartels. We knew all of this beforehand. And we knew he liked to go out with the whores and the Playboy models and the porn stars and all the other garbage that came out about him. And he liked to talk real nasty to Billy Bush on camera, and that all came out. We knew all that. You know, we didn't put a saint in the White House. And what makes me angry is when the Christians want to make him into a saint. And this is the same thing that happened with George Bush, George W., the dumb one. I know him, too. Met him at Southeastern University at a function. I never spoke with him at a seminar, but I met him, and I also met his wife, who, by the way, she's much prettier in person than she is in picture. She's a very, very lovely first lady, and she's also very, very nice, and he was very nice, too, just not real bright. But you know, but he basically, you know, he was the one, you know, who brought us into the Gulf War and did all of this stuff with Iraq. He's the one that caused so many problems for the United States, including the Patriot Act. But remember, he didn't do any of this stuff. Remember, he's skull and bones. They'd like to get naked and sodomize another guy in a casket. Whoops, I shouldn't have said that. That's one of their little rituals they go through. I mean, there's some sickos, man. These people are sickos. They are sickos when you find out what they do in private. But what's funny about the whole thing is that, you know, we all as Christians said he's born again Christian. Well, he's born again, all right. Born again in a doggone casket, skull and bones is how he's born again. He wasn't born again except that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior. But the Christians thought that's what he meant. And so what they did is they supported him. And they supported him for 8 years of misery with George W. I did not. After about the first 2 years of that mess, I said, I'm done with this guy. He's nuts. And the Christians wouldn't step away. They refused to step away, and they're doing the exact same thing with Donald Trump now. And all we get to hear is, well, at least he's not Hillary. Okay, we got that. He's not the Witch of Benghazi. But guys, last month was another record month on illegal immigration into the United States. Now that he's got the military down there helping facilitate the distribution of these illegal immigrants into the United States along with all their diseases, this is what the president is doing. There's not one inch of walls been built or extra border fences being put up. He's replaced a lot of stuff that was bad and damaged and aging. He's done that. But as far as the new stuff, nothing. You have to talk to Ann Coulter about that. But then again, he's not really president, is he? That would be Jared Kushner, wouldn't it? Yes, right. Jared Kushner's president. Why? He's probably the next Antichrist. He's probably going to be the Antichrist. You think, well, you really think so, Ted? I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying he's probably going to be. He's that guy's got all the markings for it. He's Jewish and he's gay, which is what the Bible says the Antichrist is going to be. And, you know, and so, I believe he's gay. He acts gay. Okay. Well, I should say, I can't say he's gay for sure. He's got kids, but that doesn't mean anything. But he acts gay and he's Jewish and he's also a Kabbalist, which means he's into that wizard stuff and that weird gematria and all the other weird stuff they're involved in. And so, remember something, too, guys. When these guys are practicing Kabbalah, and they have that string around their wrists and they're doing these rituals, they're feeding the demonic entities their energy. They're literally having their life forces sucked out of them. They think that they're being protected. But they create a covenant with these demons. I mean, this is real to them. And they share their energy with these guys. It's like letting somebody have so much of your blood every day. I mean, they're in some weird stuff when they start getting into that witchcraft with that Kabbalah. And that's what we have to understand that these guys are involved in. And Donald Trump has got another free pass, just like George Bush. And Austin, I have no idea how we started on chemtrails, and I ended up in a seminar circuit back 20 years ago talking about this weird stuff. But that's what happens with the world. We don't see what's really happening, and we pretend like it's not there. And the same thing happens with autism. The same thing happens. I mean, 1 in 32 children have autism in New Jersey now, and you're like, well, that's sad. No. What's causing it? Oh, we don't know. Yeah, you do. You do. You're lying. You're lying to yourself because you're refusing to look at the 600 studies that have been done on autism linking it to vaccines, MMR, and glyphosate. You're refusing to look at that because it's not what you've been told is true, and you're refusing to open your mind up. It's like if you, it's like this. Let's say you want to become a pilot, and you get your pilot training, and you've got a pilot that's got 10,000 hours, and he's training you how to fly, and you've never flown a plane before. You need to listen to what he says. You don't need to be an idiot. You need to make sure you know what he says is right. Get a good pilot to start with. Make sure he's got a good safety record. And if he tells you you got to apply more throttle, or you got to apply more rudder, or you got to apply, you got to pull your yoke back, and you got to basically, you know, rotate your yoke to take off, you probably need to listen to him because he knows more than you do. And this is the problem that people have, Austin, is when people don't listen to the people who they don't want to listen to because they don't believe what their viewpoint is despite the research, then we end up with this politically correct nonsense, which everything is okay that everybody does. Don't question anything or you're rocking the boat and you're a troublemaker. That's my opening, bud. What do you think?
Very well said. Also, too, this is something that I wanted to address because I did not talk about it on yesterday's show because I've been doing a little bit of research and kind of watching to see how the mainstream media played out with this whole thing. As you guys already, I'm sure, already know, there was a shooting at a Colorado high school a few days ago, very close to Columbine High School. Except this one was interesting because the mainstream media has been completely silent on anything revolving this shooting except for the victims that didn't die because they're scared and terrified and all this stuff. Now, which I understand, situation occurs like this, it's going to be pretty spooky, especially when you're a teenager, 13, 14, 15 years old. But what's ironic about this is they haven't been able to say anything at all against firearms or against just about anything that they promote. Because both of the students, one was 16, one was 18, that were reportedly the shooters and were caught and have now been arraigned in trial, were both transgender. They were both hardcore leftist Satanists. Let me address that, and I mean that term directly. They were Satanists. They both had a whole bunch of satanic stuff that they had on their computer, their Facebook. They reportedly even put 666 spray painted on a teacher's car and set it on fire in the parking lot, which, by the way, the mainstream media has not been talking about at all. They absolutely hate Christians. They hated Trump, and they're full-blown Satanist transgenders. Kid you not, that is what both these kids were involved in. And just to make it a little bit more icing on the cake for CNN, they broke into their parents' cabinet apparently with a sledgehammer, smashed the locks off of the lock safe that they had, broke into the cabinet that they had. All the guns were legally acquired by their parents, legally stored in a safe box, legally locked up, and apparently they found a way to break into the cabinet when their parents were gone, took their handguns out, loaded up the magazines, and went to school. Ironically, CNN has not addressed that at all. It's not addressed the transgender issue at all, nor has it addressed the satanic issue with this at all. It's simply focusing on how the students are so terrified again from another school shooting that's rocked Colorado. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up here now, that it's ironic when it plays their narrative, CNN and all the other fake news nations or other networks, they continue to go in and push their narrative. But when they literally do not have anything to stand on, the only thing they can now do is roll on the fear and propaganda aspect of the other students are scared and they all need to be scared of school shootings and they need to be terrified in the future of more school shootings. That's what they're promoting now on here. But I watched part of the video with the 18-year-old and the court, and it was very strange. Purple hair again, weird stuff, had his head hanging down, completely hanging down the whole time, never lifted up, never looked at anybody. I'm just hanging there like he was in a drug Xanax stupor. Just going to throw that out there. I don't know. I don't have any evidence that proves that, but he looked pretty out of his mind. Purple hair, completely and totally lunatic looking. And again, this is the same thing we saw in Colorado with Holmes after the Aurora shooting. You guys remember that, where they go in and they say this guy was the shooter, no evidence at all that he was involved in any shooting. The cops show up after somebody throws in tear gas and smoke grenades in the movie theater, shoots up the movie theater, and all of a sudden this cops show up and this Holmes kid is in full body armor, slumped over beside a vehicle, completely stoned out of his mind, unresponsive just about. No fighting, no nothing, no resistance whatsoever. Roll him over, handcuff him, take him to the hospital. Again, we see these things happen repeatedly, and nobody wants to look at what's really going on. These kids were both transgender. They both were devout Satanists. They hated Christians. They hated Trump. And they broke into their parents' safe and stole their parents' firearms illegally. So again, it does not fit the narrative at all that the anti-gun CNN news network wants to push. So again, they completely twist it and focus on the fear porn of the other students that are terrified after the shooting. Just thought I would bring that up today, that since hardly anybody's talked about this at all, I wanted to kind of bring my side of it and how I've seen it since my research last couple days.
You know, I discussed this in depth the other day with the transgender issues. I believe it was last week. I can't remember. These shows all blur together. And what was funny about the thing with the transgender, and I don't mean funny as in ha-ha, but funny as in irony, these kids are basically taught at a very young age, most of them, that they're gay or they're transgender or that behavioral pattern is reinforced through operant or classical conditioning. I didn't really cover that in depth the other day. In other words, every time they say they think they're gay, they get an attaboy or an attagirl. Every time they want to dress like the other sex, they get an attaboy, attagirl. You look so good in a pink chiffon dress. Though you think you're a little boy, you're not. You're really a little girl. We'll get that wanger cut off pretty quick, so you don't have to be bothered with that anymore. Okay? Just be real graphic with you guys. And so there's what they do. And so they keep telling them all this stuff over and over and over again. But their Y chromosome's saying inside, it's screaming, but I ain't a girl. But they're being told, yeah, you are. No, I'm not. Yeah, I am. No, I'm not. Yeah, I am. And pretty soon they get this really dystopian future in their minds, and they have no idea what to do, and they get this, they don't understand why they're being told they're a girl but they're a boy, and they've got private body parts that don't match up like they're supposed to, and so just to stop the pain they go in and have transgender reassignment surgery. And but the parents are doing this to them now. Doggone it all, it's not every time that's not true. Sometimes it's peer groups, sometimes it's people in schools telling these kids they're gay or they're trans or they're trannies. You know, or they're saying they're bisexuals, or all the weird stuff these kids are telling each other nowadays from peer pressure, and they start molding them that way, and the parents are going, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. Why are you acting like you're a girl and you're a guy? Well, they all told me at school I was. This is the kind of stuff that happens. And now in some states, it's illegal to take them to a psychiatrist or a psychologist and have therapy that's, they're not what they say they are, that they're something else based upon their Y or X chromosome. Now that's illegal. You can't do that anymore. That's how bizarre science has gotten in some states. I mean, it's the weirdest stuff you've ever seen. But this is what happens with these guys often. They become very, very frustrated, very, very hated, very, very hateful, and very, very poked fun at. And then pretty soon they gravitate to the lowest common denominator, which is going to be, you know, Satanism or self-mutilation or whatever. They start doing these weird things, and they get into it. Let me give you an example. How can I say this in a way that's going to be positive? We had a family member. I'm not going to mention any names on this one. Not blood relative to me at all. Blood relative to Austin, but not to me. And what happened is the young boy started getting obese when he was about 8 years old. And I talked to his parents, who I knew real well, and I said, you need to really work on his diet to try to help him because it's going to really affect his self-esteem. And they said, none of your business. Why are you telling us this stuff? Shut up, go away. Now, that's not what they said, but that's what they implied. And about said that, the mother about said that, got really, really angry at me. And I said, all right, whatever. So about 5 years later, the kid's now about, oh gosh, 100 pounds overweight. He's 13 years old, obese. I mean, just absolutely obese. And he doesn't have anybody who hangs out, and people are making fun of him because now he can't run, he can't do the playground stuff, what happens when you're a kid. And he's being ridiculed. And so he starts hanging out with the lowest common denominator of theater students who were already a little bit weird. This kid had a real high IQ, real smart. And he started hanging out with the theater kids who were hanging out with the drug kids. And so this kid got involved with drugs at a very, very young age, 12, 13, 14 years of age. In the meantime, his father was completely clueless, didn't believe any of this. And then the kid just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger until by the time he was out of high school, he was probably 150 pounds overweight. And he went off to college. And then they brought him to me about when he was about 23 years old. And he was lost. He had lost over 100 pounds, as jaundiced as you can get, because he was on heroin, addicted to drugs, and it was awful. It was awful, and he ended up overdosing. All of this, he ended up overdosing and dying when he's about 36 years old with heroin. Now, the reason I tell you this is this: when you have children at home, it's really important that you encourage them when they're young. You got to be their best coach, their best good finder, their best everything. Attaboy Austin, attaboy Harrison, attagirl Alexis, attagirl Savannah, my kids. I'm just always praising them and encouraging them, because you want to be that peer group that's around them that's giving them praise. Now, I got to say one other thing, too. It's going to sound kind of weird, but when they get to be teenagers, you can't keep telling them how good they're doing if they're not doing good, hanging out with the wrong people. Big mistake. You can't do that. You got to do your best to encourage them not to hang out with certain kids. And you, if you got a car key and you're taking them to these places where they're hanging out with these other kids, you got to pull the plug on it. You as a parent have to pull the plug. And it's very difficult to do that, especially when you've had a attaboy, attaboy, attagirl, attagirl all the way up till 12, 13, 14 years of age. And now all of a sudden they want to start hanging out with sleazy friends. And they start going to the lowest common denominator friend. You can't let them do that. You got to pull them away from the friends. And here's why. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. I've seen it in so many cases where you got a really good child, and that child basically hangs out with the wrong people, and what ends up happening is that child starts becoming like that wrong person. Years ago, when I was still in Lutheran church, I was like, was I 16 years? I'd left the Lutheran church and gone back to Lutheran church, and never got really involved with it again. There was a kid that lived, a couple miles away from us, and he had moved into a real bad neighborhood. And he was a real godly little boy. And he started hanging out with all the kids in the neighborhood, did all the dope. And sure enough, within 6 months, he's no longer a godly little boy, filthy language, dope the whole bit, because he became part of his environment. So be careful with your children. And so when they get involved with stuff, if they want to start wearing blue chiffon dresses and they're a little boy, you got to tell them, no, absolutely not. You're not gay. You're not a trans. You're a healthy little boy. You're going through a phase in your life right now where you don't have a lot of different types of hormones like testosterone. You're just a little bit confused because you got idiots talking to you. The answer is no, no, no. You're a boy. You're a male. You're a man. That's what you got to tell them. And then when they get older, if they start hanging out with weirdos, I've got a friend of mine right now. His daughter went to University of Utah, broke up with her boyfriend. Every time he sees her, she's got lesbians and homosexuals she's bringing home with her. Can pretty much guarantee you she's gone gay. And I told him, I said, she's probably gay. No, 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 no. I said, dude, she doesn't hang out with boys anymore. She hangs out with gay guys and gay girls. I said, she's probably gay. Well, it doesn't make any difference if she's gay. God made her that way. No, no. God did not make her that way. We have children that are chemically castrated in utero because the same people who crucified Christ are still in charge, and they want to make the entire population a unisex, and they put all these chemicals in the water and in the food to destroy the population and to feminize the population. Now, regardless of that, and if that happens, you still cannot say it's okay. You've got to say it's not okay. This is not what God wants, because God's very clear about this in His Word. You need to work on that. Because let me explain something to you guys. We all have things in our life that we think about that aren't pure and holy, okay? Because we're still in a flesh suit. We're still in a computer situation with our brain that was programmed by your parents, by the world, by what you've read, by what you've seen. You still have certain trigger points that you need to avoid. And drug addicts know this. They got to stay away from people who do drugs. People who smoke cigarettes know this. They have to stay away from people who smoke cigarettes. People who drink know they shouldn't go to bars and sit around and drink water, because sooner or later there's a high probability they're going to start drinking alcohol again. Okay? It's the same thing. If you really like girls and women and you're married, you don't need to be going to the beach by yourself with your buds, pushing back a few brews, strutting down the beach, and talking to all the single girls. You don't need to put yourself in that position. Because we all get tempted by what we see. Because when a guy sees a girl walking down the beach and he's by himself and he's single, this is the way it's supposed to work, he has a part of his brain called the nucleus accumbens, and it tightens up and constricts, almost like a man who hasn't eaten for 30 days and is starving and sees a table full of food. And that's done on purpose to men, to make them that way. We're hardwired that way so that we will reproduce, be plentiful, and populate the planet. I mean, if guys didn't care about sex and having sex, there wouldn't be anybody on the planet, because most women are, you know, sort of indifferent to all that anyhow. You know, some aren't, some aren't. I'll say it that way, because I'll get in trouble. So what guys have to do is they have to realize what their trigger points are. If you know, if you hang out with certain people, or you see certain things, or you do certain things, that it triggers you, and it makes you do things you shouldn't do, go places you shouldn't go, and talk to that really pretty girl over there who's been looking at you, you probably need to avoid those situations. See, the same thing is true with gays and with transgenders and with all of this. We all have thoughts that we shouldn't have. That's why we have to pray every day and ask God to forgive us for the thoughts that we have and the things that we do. And so it's not that we're going to go to hell because we have a thought. And it's not necessarily that we're going to go to hell because we act on certain things. Though the Bible is very clear about certain sins, you cannot get into the kingdom of God. So what we have to do is be very, very careful and monitor our behavior and avoid certain situations. So if a guy has a tendency to be feminine, he needs to avoid other feminine guys. He needs to go out and learn how to shoot guns. He needs to go out and learn how to do sports. He needs to go out and get into the gym and start working out. And he needs to avoid hanging out with guys that are sissies. Guys, I can't be any more clear with you this morning than I am. I'm really stepping on some toes here, and I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just telling you the truth. If a guy wants to go out and get drunk, he doesn't need to hang out with the drunk friends. It's the same thing. You've got to choose godly friends when you hang out. That's why every day I pray for you. Every day, all of you. And I pray that God protects you. I pray that his face shines upon you, that he's merciful unto you, that he grants you grace, mercy, peace, love, prosperity. I station angels around you. I plead the blood of Christ over you. I put a hedge of thorns around you. Why? Because I know that Lucifer's running around with all his little minions and weirdos that he has on this planet, because he's not omnipresent, remember that. And he's doing everything he can to trip you up and to cause that girl to kind of go over there and say, how are you doing tonight? 2 years ago, I'm at a doggone Ford dealership, and some girl just asked me out to lunch. And I looked at her, I said, no, I'm happily married. No, thank you. I'm not interested in going to lunch with you. I said, that's okay. I just don't want to do it. And that kind of stuff happens all the time. I just ignore it. Why? Because guys, listen to me, guys. You know when you're getting hit on. This isn't like we're playing some kind of game with each other right now. You know, when some girl makes eye contact with you and she looks at you, you know, it triggers you. You know that. It's best just to look away. Or just grab your wife's hand a little bit tighter. You know, prance around. I carry my wife's picture all over my iPhone, and like I need to have a big picture of my wife and a big poster, and I should wear it around my neck and have it hanging on my chest. This is my wife. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me. And you say, well, are you serious? Well, I'm being a little bit funny now, but I mean, it's just, you've got to protect yourself. You've got to protect your marriages. You've got to protect your children. You don't need to be taking drugs. You know, that's why some of you, my friends, send me these emails. You're sending me all this constant stuff about legalizing marijuana. I don't want marijuana legalized. You know, I don't want to hear this stuff about it. I know what it does. I don't care about it. I've never used it. Now, if somebody's using it for pain, I understand that. I got that. I have no problem with that whatsoever if they're an adult. But for children, it really messes up brain development. The globalists want you to use marijuana. They want your 10-year-old to use marijuana. They want your 5-year-old to use crack or marijuana. They don't care. Gosh, they've got tens of millions of people now addicted in the United States to heroin and to opiates and OxyContin. You think that was by accident? This is the opium wars that happened in China with Great Britain. It's the same people who did that, by the way. They're doing it to us still. Same group. Same bloodlines. And see, and this is what we have to understand. They want to destroy everything that debilitates body, mind, flesh, spirituality, and our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's like Austin said yesterday. You know, you can't talk about Jews. You can't talk about Muslims. You can't talk about Hindus. You can't talk about anybody, but you can sure lay into the Christians and basically tell everybody how bad Christians are and how white Anglo-Saxon Protestant males have need to be basically extinguished off the planet, and it's time for us to go away. I talked about this in depth yesterday when I talked about what happens when the baby boomers leave. And see, this is the thing that we've got to understand, guys. You know, we have to be raising little Christians, little Americans. God, I loved it yesterday when I talked about how Putin has nationalism going so strong that he has hundreds of thousands of little children marching in Soviet uniforms on the streets carrying weapons, promoting the fact that they're Russians and they love their countries. Where is that here? My God, we got a bunch of queers in the Boy Scouts now. I mean, the Boy Scouts used to be that for us. Now we got tens of thousands of Boy Scouts who are finding out that have been sexually molested by these, I almost said a bad word, these doggone perverts that have gotten into the Boy Scouts because they want to screw little boys. I mean, it's a bunch of sickos. And this is what's happened to us because we've got ourselves involved in this political correct nonsense. Because we've accepted this stuff. And we said it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. Then I got to go to the movie. The other day I watched a Liam Neeson movie, and there's two guys holding hands and kissing in the doggone movie. And I screamed in the middle of the movie, no, this is not that kind of movie. I'm yelling it. Everybody else yelling at everybody's mad. Why? Because the same guys who crucified Jesus run Hollywood. It's always the same group. And that's what we have our battle against. And that's why we can't allow this group of people, these darn perverts, these sickos, to control us or our families. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, that's a very accurate question. I mean, that's why they're constantly promoting all this agenda, is exactly what you said. And one thing, to touch base back on the cannabis, and this is the one thing that I do have against a lot of the recreational cannabis use, is the medical aspect of it and what it can do is substantial. There's no doubt about it. I've seen a lot of benefits all the way down from the CBD and everything. There's some very strong health benefits. The issue you run into, though, is that when you start using any compounds that essentially take you from your state of mind, meaning they can either make you numb or unreliable, that's the only aspect that I really don't like about it. Because if you have to be, say you are the primary security contractor for your family, and I put that term very aggressively, you're the head of your household, you have multiple kids, you have a wife, you are there to protect your family, you are the head of your household, and say you have a problem getting stoned all the time because you like to smoke pot on a regular basis. That's neither here nor there. That's your problem, not mine. I'm not going to lecture you on morality. However, the one aspect that I do see a problem with it is if you do this and say you're going out in public, your level of instinct, your situational awareness is no question about it going to be compromised. The same concept if you go out in public and you're drinking heavily. Those situations, if something were to occur, whether it be a threat, whether it be some type of catastrophe, whether it be an accident, you are not going to be as effective and acute as you could be if you were sober. And that's a fact. Now people can argue with me and say, oh, it doesn't affect you. Like, yes, it does. It does. And so to say it doesn't is just trying to justify it in your own head that you're completely fine. Because if you're saying that it doesn't affect you in any way, it has no impact on you whatsoever, then why are you using it? That's the question. If you're saying that you don't change at all as far as your driving isn't impaired when you're drinking alcohol, why do we see research studies that show even just after a couple glasses of alcohol, your reflexes and your ability to handle situations in a timely manner slowly go down? They decrease. Your reaction time goes down. That's a fact. They've done numerous studies on that. The same thing with cannabis. So if something like that is causing you to not be as effective, whether it be in your work, whether it be in your life, whether it be in your biblical life, whether it be anything, then you have to ask yourself, is this something that really needs to be involved in my life? Now, if again, like I said earlier, if you're using something because you're having severe back pain, if you're having something that's helping you with arthritis, if you're having something that's helping you with insomnia because you have PTSD and you basically deployed multiple times in the Middle East in the military, I really don't care what you do. I don't really care either way what you do, but that's what Dad is pretty much trying to say here, is that the more that we go down this line of justifying even alcohol consumption, I mean, moderate, mild alcohol consumption with social aspects, you know, having a glass of wine here, having a couple beers here, I don't see there being a huge aspect of it being really an issue. It doesn't affect you that significantly. Now, you start drinking multiple drinks, yeah, you're going to have impairment. Also, too, understand that if you drink alcohol, you pretty much are not going to burn body fat whatsoever. Alcohol is catabolic. It's also a neurotoxin and also decreases the ability to burn body fat. No question. Now, if you decide to use it occasionally, is it going to have an effect on you if you train a lot, eat clean, stay relatively healthy? Probably not. So that's something you have to choose whether or not you want to do. But this is the thing that we all have to look at. The opioid crisis, the constant push for pharmaceuticals, the constant influx of heroin, the constant influx of meth, the constant push to keep everybody stoned, the media, the social media, the music videos, the rap industry, the movie industry, how they continually glorify and justify drug usage, alcohol abuse, and every other aspect. That is all being done to subconsciously put those ideas, those concepts into the brains of the American population, into making them think that is what they need to do. That's why Big Tobacco used to pay huge amounts of money to have cigarettes in movies. All the time. They still do it. Alcohol does it. Coca-Cola does it. They all do it. They do it as subliminal advertisement. You're going to a movie and you see Brad Pitt go on the screen. Everybody knows Brad Pitt, been in movies, great in Troy, great in a lot of movies. Then he comes in and he cracks a Coca-Cola and drinks it from the refrigerator and puts it down on the counter and goes, oh, I'm so thirsty, that was really good. They just told you that the top movie star celebrity, the cool person in the movie, drinks Coca-Cola. Now you may go, I don't like Coca-Cola, but the significant portion of the population that doesn't know how toxic Coca-Cola is does like Coca-Cola, and they go, oh man, I need to go get a Coke. I just thought about that. After the movie, they go to the store, they buy a 12-pack. They may not do it right then, they may not do it the next day, but it's subliminal advertising. They talk about this in marketing all the time. They do this with cannabis in movies. They do this with alcohol in movies and music videos. They do it with all these different compounds, and that's why now they're getting all these young, ignorant, idiot rappers that they've brought into the industry now to be unbelievably hardcore dopers to produce some of the filthiest, most egregious music you could ever come up with in your life, and they're labeling them as cool, great, grand, wonderful. The Illuminati gives them all this money, makes them all popular, and then they glorify heavy, heavy, heavy drug use in all their music videos. This is why they're doing it, to make the younger generation think that heavy drug use is not only socially acceptable, but it is actually cool. And if you use these drugs, you will be as cool as these rappers that have all this huge jewelry, all these fancy cars, all these huge houses. You will be like them. It's not hard to put one and one together to equal two. You have to look at the subliminal advertisement, the marketing, and the concept, and who benefits. That is why they're continually doing so. Coca-Cola, of all people, as much as I absolutely dislike them significantly, I dislike them even more after I found out now in Norway, they're now going and using the crescent moon symbol around Coca-Cola to recognize the Ramada, the whole Islam thing over now in Europe. I kid you not, they're actually doing that now, which I was so shocked to see they're actually doing that, but then on the other hand, I wasn't. Their crescent moon logo from Ramada, they're saying the Coca-Cola spokesperson is saying, we believe most share our values. In the Muslim countries, we have a long history of highlighting Ramada. Just we in this country have a tradition of Christian campaigns. Now it's time in Norway, we want to celebrate Ramada together with Norwegian Muslims. So they're doing this over in Norway now. So they haven't figured out how to get Norway inclusive enough and to accept the Islam community. Now they're doing this. Coca-Cola is owned by the globalist bankers. They know exactly what they're doing, just like almost every other of these huge companies is the same way. So just something I thought I would add on that there as Dad was talking about this. Also, too, in other news, we're running out of time. I wanted to get a couple health stories in here for you guys that I told you I'd have yesterday. Vitamin D3, I talk about this a lot, talking about it again, because they're showing now from research from Queen Mary University of London is finding out that the vitamin D is so effective at boosting immunity that it can actually help treat drug-resistant tuberculosis when antibiotics aren't enough. What they're finding is significant of the people that are coming down with drug-resistant tuberculosis are also deficient in vitamin D. They found out Professor Adrian Martino, lead researcher from Queen Mary University of London, was explaining the multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis rise worldwide. He further explains that vitamin D is an extremely safe and affordable alternative for fighting off drug infections. They said in the study of 1,850 patients, the team found that supplementing an antibiotic regime with different or additional vitamin D successfully boosted the patient's immunity. He said by adding vitamin D to the antibiotic treatment, we could boost the immune system to help the body clear the tuberculosis bug rather than relying on antibiotics on their own to kill the bacteria directly. Given the frequency of vitamin D deficiency, it seems obvious that nutrient supplementation should be integral to health restoration, tuberculosis or not. Remember, vitamin D is crucial to the proper activation of immune system defenses, including the macrophage. Dad talked about this in detail before. You can listen back to our other shows. But this is why I tell people it's crucial to make sure your vitamin D is checked. It boggles my mind how many people that contact me that get blood work done from their doctors that are having health issues, and the doctors never check vitamin D. They don't ever, hardly ever. And it's funny because I've brought this up so many times. Lana, when we had the midwife, when she was getting ready to have our children, both of them, either one of them, they constantly did blood work. Almost every month they did blood work and tested everything, including vitamin D. And that's when we found when Lana was a little low in vitamin D. And we actually had her on 20,000 IUs of D3 K2 every day to get her up to the number that we wanted to reach the blood levels. 20,000 IUs a day to get her up to the level. And very few people take any supplementation with D3, let alone 20,000 when they're pregnant. That shows you how deficient most people are in vitamin D. And here it shows you that the antibiotics, when they weren't even effective at getting rid of tuberculosis, they added in vitamin D and it helped get rid of the tuberculosis. Great info on that, and shows you again why vitamin D is so important, Dad, especially in this day and age when we don't get near enough sunshine and the food, the diet that we have, golly, is it deficient in just about everything, even when you're eating organic, as Dad said yesterday. The crop rotation, the exposure, the levels of minerals and vitamins, our food is so deficient that it is crucial we're adding in these key nutrients like vitamin C into our daily intake and vitamin D into our daily intake.
You know, what's funny, Austin, is that, you know, we try to tell everybody how to eat healthy and watch your labels. And now psychiatry is now viewing healthy eating behavior as a mental disorder. You guys, you know, it's called orthorexia nervosa. And guys, I'm not making this up. It says that you basically want to look at labels and you want to eat healthy, so you have a mental disorder, and I'm sure there'll be a drug that's going to follow pretty quickly to correct this order from you. If you go to the National Eating Disorders media site, it says that basically awareness about orthorexia is on the rise. The term orthorexia was coined in 1998 and means an obsession with the proper or healthful eating. Although being aware and concerned with the nutritional quality of food isn't a problem in and of itself, people with orthorexia become so fixated on what's called healthy eating, they actually damage their own well-being. It says, because you compulsive checking of nutrients and labels, which I always do. You know, you're concerned about the health of the ingredients. I always care about that. You're cutting out or increasing the number of car groups. You know, like, for instance, you got a problem with gluten, you start cutting out carbs, now you got orthorexia. You start cutting out dairy products, you start all these other products. An inability to eat anything but a narrow group of foods that are deemed healthy or pure. That'd be me. I don't eat junk. Okay? Unusual interest in the health of what others are eating. You're trying to help people, now you can't help people? Spending hours per day thinking about what food might be served in the upcoming events. I don't do that. Showing high levels of distress when safe or healthy foods are not available. I don't do that. I just bring it with me. I bring my own cooler. You say, no, you don't. Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, I do. I tell you, we were supposed to go into to go to Paris. Remember, our planes got canceled on Sunday. We had a whole suitcase of snacks packed. Yeah. So does that mean I'm nuts? No, it means I don't want to eat their junk. Okay. Obsessive following of food and healthy lifestyle blogs on Twitter and Instagram. I don't do that. Body image concerns may or may not be present. I don't really have a body image concern. I work out 6 days a week, but I'm not going to be in a gym 6 hours a day like I used to be. Well, I never went 6 hours a day, but I used to be 4 hours a day on Saturdays when I was a kid. I don't do any of that stuff anymore. First of all, when you work 4 hours a day, your cortisol goes up too high and you actually start losing muscle. Boyer Coe taught me back in 1976 after I had won the Mr. Tallahassee contest that if you decrease the amount of workouts and increase the intensity, you have a massive increase in lean muscle weight. My chest went from 46, I took no steroids, I had a 46-inch chest when I won the contest, and within 6 months it went to 50. And I mean, it was huge. I mean, I can show you pictures. I need to take a picture, put it on the website. And you say, well, how did you do that? Well, because I decreased the amount of workouts that I was doing because I was overtraining. I went from 3 days a week per body part to 2 days a week per body part. And my chest workout went from like an hour to work out to about 12 minutes on the workout. And I got bigger and stronger. I got bigger and stronger. You say, well, how is that possible? Because I increased the intensity, because I reduced the cortisol, because I allowed my body not to overtrain. See, guys, you know, you got to be careful when you work out, careful when you take your supplements, careful when you eat. That's why we're here. If we can help it, we will. I love you guys. I had the opportunity and the privilege, like I mentioned earlier, to pray for you again today. You guys mean so much to me. If it wasn't for you guys supporting us and getting your supplements to us and praying for us and being here with us, I don't know what to do. I wouldn't know what to do. I tell you what, I really feel we're making a difference. Austin and I and you guys working together as a cohesive team, as my family, for my little fireside chats that we have with you guys all the time. I love you and I appreciate you guys so much. Austin, I'll do the write-up and I'll talk to you guys. Oh, by the way, I will be on Hagman tonight. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Yes, absolutely. Dad's going to be on Hagman tonight. He's going to run it solo by himself. I think I'm going to be on next week with a couple of different topics that I'm working on, some survival stuff, some tactical stuff, some health stuff. You know, I like to have different ranges of it, try to keep everything as, you know, encompassed and broad as possible. But, guys, do everybody a favor right now. If you have family, if you have friends, stay aware of what's going on. There's a lot of stuff heating up right now all over the place. And I'm not just talking about the Middle East and the B-52 bombers and all that going over there. I just mean in general. There's a lot of stuff going on. You see out west right now with the snow, the rain. This stuff happens on a regular basis with what's going on right now. And you always have to be prepared. That's why I tell people all the time, always have some backup food, always have some backup water, always have a bug-out bag or a gear bag or just a simply whatever you want to call it bag if you don't want to label it, in your vehicle at all times that has your main essentials to get you in or out of any situation that you can pretty much predict in your current area, whether that be in a flood, whether that be in a fire, whether that be in a hot element, that whether it be in a cold element, whatever it is, you know what you need. Do your research on it. I always have one with me. It's not something that I try to talk about to brag, like, oh, I have this and I have that. Almost everybody I know, especially every retired military guy that I know, always has these in their bag, in their truck all the time, because you never know what's going to happen. And it may not be for you. It may be for somebody you see in need. It may be for family. It may be for friends. Always be prepared and do your due diligence and have situational awareness everywhere you go. Be prepared for anything. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for the support of Health Masters. Thank you for all your emails this week. I've been getting a lot of emails this week trying to answer everything the best I can. So thank you for your support. Be sure to check out the website, the product of the week, the Beet Juice Powder. Great product, organic, non-GMO. Check it out on the website at healthmasters.com, on sale right now for 10% off. You have an absolutely blessed, safe, awesome night. Enjoy the Hagman Show report tonight. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again Monday as always.